Port's 2015 season is over. They finished ninth after such high expectations. Joining us live is Port's coach Ken Hinckley. He is brought to us by the new Port Adelaide Footy Club Visa debit card. It is powered by Beyond Bank, and my team, my card. Ken, as always, thanks for your time.
No problems.
Hey, as promised, you finished off the season strong. I think you won your last four and six of your last seven. So that's, I don't know whether that's a consolation. What's the right word?
It's a pain. That's basically what it is. It acknowledges some part of you saying that, yeah, well, when we're good, we actually can compete and we're capable of beating the best teams in the competition. But it's the reality is we didn't do it at the start of the season when it counts most, and we finished ninth. So it gives us a little bit of something to sting ourselves with and say, okay, well, let's make sure we don't mess it up again.
One of the things you did get in the last part of the season was some consistency. So that was what you were craving early on in the year. Out of that, did that provide any clarity about what you were doing well as opposed to what happened in the first half of the year?
It just confirmed what we knew, Bix, to be honest. It knew that when we play aggressive and tough and really defensive football, we're pretty good. Mm. And if we go away from that, we're no good. And that's what I did in the last, particularly last month, when you look at the numbers and you go, we're third best defensive team in the competition over that last month, playing against some goods, albeit the last one's hard to read because of the quality that Fremantle brought over. But it does reinforce to us that what we are good at is good enough, but you have to be good at it all year.
Mm. And in that last game, there's a couple of things that I took out of it. One is it was a mental challenge to be able to get yourself up and have the win, which you did. A little bit of a hiccup in the first quarter. You just woke him up at quarter time, did you?
Yeah, no, I did.
Oh, boy.
A little bit of a fire. And, I was pretty disappointed, to be fair. And, I was really big on the fact that we were going to finish the season the way we needed to. And, look, without giving him an excuse, I could understand what that game had turned into a little bit, but I wasn't going to accept that, and I didn't want the players to accept that. We don't control the opposition, we have to control ourselves, and it was a great lesson for us that whoever you play, whenever you play, you've just got to play it the same way, and, 8 goals to zip in the second quarter, the boys were okay then. Mm.
They responded, that's the good
thing. And the second thing was I was just blown away with the crowd because there was every excuse not to go along and support their team, yet they turned up in droves.
Yeah, I was really proud of the Port Adelaide people because, 39,000 nearly there is a really big crowd for us against an interstate club, and, we should be really pleased with what they've been able to do. Our fans have been the stand-up part of the season for us with 60,000 members and all those things, so that's a real positive. We need them to stick again, and I said that to a few of them at the end of the game, go and find some more members, go and find some more people and join on because we'll come back and work hard.
What did you say to the players out on the ground after the game?
It's too early to finish.
Yeah.
We're going off the grass for the last time this year, boys, and that's not right. And, we got to take full ownership of that, and we're in it together, and that means that, all of us have failed in some way in season 2015. Coaches, players, everyone, we didn't get the job done. You should never want to leave the grass with football still to be played and the most exciting football still to be played, and that's in the finals.
And you said before, you got some ammo that will burn in their guts over the pre-season. It sounds like you know what went wrong. You have the answers, if you like. Now you've got to learn those lessons.
Yeah, we've got to action them now, Rowie. That's probably the key thing. We know what makes us play well now, and we got it reinforced to us in that back half of the year, unfortunately. And, the trick is, though, is you've got to do it right from the start. And look, our first 5 or 6 weeks were pretty strong. Let's not make no secret of that. They were pretty good. Our middle 6 to 8 weeks let us down badly. We lost to the last and second last team on the ladder. You finished ninth. That's why.
Exit interviews, I guess they start to happen this week. Have you kicked them off?
Yep, done all them bicks for the boys who are not playing for the Magpies. Yep. Bear in mind that the Magpies are still playing and, still got some challenges there to hopefully achieve some great results. But there was 26 of the boys that we've spoke through and let them go on their leave, blokes who were not qualified for the Magpies. And all those things were, they're honest, as they always are, and some growth for the players and for coaches, and hopefully we learn some more stuff out of that.
And was there a underlying theme that went through them, or is it individual, each one different?
Oh, they're always slightly individual because of you're talking to them one-on-one, but the other part, some of the stuff that the boys basically gave us is that let's just keep the message really simple. We know what works now. We understand that we've learned a lesson. Whether we can action that lesson is the challenge to them and to us. Mm. But they've certainly acknowledged that we got some things wrong.
Did anyone say back to you what you got wrong, your coaching group got wrong?
Yep.
Was there good feedback come the other way, Ken?
Yeah, we're open for that, and that's good. Yeah. I think that, and our boys are brave enough to say it.
That's, you know, they
think at times that we perhaps try to fix too many things throughout the season, and that's what happens when you chase your tail a bit. You know, and they said, well, we found out at the end what works for us. Let's make sure we stay in that space, and let's make sure we operate really determinedly in that space and give ourselves the best chance.
Six players into surgery, a lot of shoulders, Ken. I think I said there was five shoulders. I know Trengove, Wines and Austin were already, but another three.
Yeah, a couple of cleanups, really. Trav's is really simple. I mean, I spoke to Trav last night. He's been done, and crack, and I think trying to think of the third one off the top of my head, and the other shoulder, I don't know, D. Looking at him, Ollie's been done, Austin, Trengove's been done, and Boke and Cracker have been done. So they're really simple ones, the last two, but they don't restrict us in any way. But as maintenance is in football season, a small ankle for Hammer, those little things happen all the time.
Well, I got my knickers in a knot yesterday when the squad of 40 came out. Homch missing out. You'd have to be disappointed for him from a club perspective, do you think?
Yeah, look, Jack's had a great year. Yeah. You know, and someone's got to miss out. Someone's got to make some decisions, and it's a squad of 40. The people who get in it thoroughly deserve it. Those will always be one or two or three on the edge who are slightly disappointing because they didn't get in it, but, you know, it's a tough squad to get into.
It is a tough squad.
Some high quality in there. Just going back to that injury list of the players, it looks as if Jack Homch is the most serious in terms of time frame, 4 to 6 weeks, but still puts him back for the start of pre-season. That's a bonus, I guess, one of the small bonuses of finishing at the start of September. You generally have a fit list to start pre-season.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly that. The upside for Jack is he had his other hip done at the start of last pre-season.
He'll be even
And
up.
He's had a great season. I think if he has another hip done, what might he go to? So maybe it's an exciting part for us, but Jack's probably the longest of those issues, and nothing too serious in that, but he'll have a pretty strong pre-season.
And the only other one for me was Jared Pollack. We're hearing he's 100%. There's no risk there that he's not going to do the whole pre-season. Where's he at?
There's always a risk because you can't say definitely no risk. Jared's back running, and Jared's had no problems, so We hope that stays that way. We're talking about an avicular bone, so we're talking about an issue that becomes pretty dicey to talk about too much. But from what I can see and what Jared's saying, he's really, really comfortable and confident that we've got on because of what we did early in the season. And now, as it turns out, out of the season as a club wasn't strong. One good thing is that Jared Pollack's probably going to be okay because of it.
We get texts and emails all the time about Johnny Butcher, super popular cult figure. Just tries his guts out. Where's he at?
Yeah, John, his last month was a bit like the side. He just came in and done his role and played his role really well. And yes, he didn't kick goals that he'd like to kick. Yeah. You know, John's aware of that. We talk about it openly and honestly. That's the good thing. We actually acknowledge that it is some sort of an issue for us and for him. His future going forward will be determined in the next, 4 to 6 weeks, as it is with lots of people in list management situations. But what he has done is give himself the best chance. And that's what you can only do that, and that's what John's done.
Can he go back to the Maggies?
Yes. Yeah, he'll play Maggies this week. Him and Carl Amon can both go back to the Maggies this week. So.
Okay. Charlie Dixon, he's picked you. You want him. Is that going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we can say it's going to happen, but obviously we've got to work through the trade part of that. And, you know, most times in situations like this, the trade gets done, and it's fair and reasonable for both sides. It's about figuring out where that middle ground is a little bit. The game of chess that goes on a little bit, they'll want heaps. At some start, we won't want to give all that. Hopefully somewhere in the middle, we're fair and reasonable. The Suns and I have had a great relationship. Hopefully Scotty and Cripper and our team get on pretty well. We'll work through that situation and hopefully come up with an outcome that is good for the Suns. They public record saying they think it was good for Charlie to make the change as well. So I think that everyone's open to the option of making it happen. You know, we've just got to get to that middle ground.
If, as many people expect, it does cost you top pick, is that any concern, the fact that you've given it up for the last 3 years?
The last couple, last couple of years, it's certainly a concern. But that's you can't rip the system off, and you shouldn't be trying to. And for us to give up our first pick, if that's what it takes to get Charlie Dixon, we're comfortable that we have to do that. Probably we'd rather not do that. Hopefully, Gold Coast might like something else, and we don't have to do that. But we got what we always look back on. We got Jarman Impey and we got Jared Pollack together, so we think we got two first rounders in one pick. So we feel like we wouldn't want to be doing it in another year. You know, we want to make sure we're bringing young. But you never know that, if young talent come to your club mix, I'm not sure the system's wrong if you go and get a 20-year-old who's a...
Jared Pollock is a young player,
a top 10 pick, and you can bring him into your system and give up, so you're just a couple of years down further advanced in the development part.
So pick 10 looks like it might be on the table for that. We can't speculate anymore, but something's going to have to come out the other end for you to get that if they want something else. Where's Jay Shules at?
Yeah, Jay, look, Roey, I'm 100% honest with you with Jay as I sit here today, is that we're still very hopeful that Jay's going to stay with us. I think Jay's certainly thinking very much about staying at Port Adelaide, so that's okay. He's got to work through some issues himself. We're very comfortable that we've made Jay some offer of a one-year contract, and hopefully from his point of view, he accepts that for us and stays with us. But there's other issues that Jay needs to work out with himself and his family, and I think his teammates want him to stay. I think Jay wants to stay, so usually if that's the case, they stay.
So you're not going to budge to a two-year deal?
No. We're not going to talk about Jay's contract here, but we Jay knows what we're prepared to do for him, and he knows that we also want him.
Yeah.
You know, I think that takes care of itself usually. Yeah. Terms and dollars and all those things are for player management and list managers to decide.
I hope he does stay. Harley Bunnell, have you spoken to him? Do you want him?
No, I haven't spoken to Harley. And would I want Harley's football ability? Anyone would like Harley's football ability. I think in our situation, we've got nowhere to go in that space. So the short answer is we won't be having Harley Bunnell.
Mm. Is there any other needs that you've identified that you say, look, that's the type of player that, or a tall or small speed skill, anything you feel like you're a bit leaning?
We always want. Yeah, but if you're fair and you say, well, look, our list is pretty well put together at the moment. Don't think there's too many wants in it. But if you can give me another elite midfielder, I always take another elite midfielder. If Paddy's available, I take Paddy. So
we just gave you one, Harley Bunnell.
Yeah, but we've got some situations where you can't fit them all in, so you have to go to the draft and get a young one normally.
Okay. Well, he's only 22.
Young one as in you have to pick them in the draft first, Rowie, because we haven't got 3 first-round picks to give up.
I've actually got one for you, a bloke who's averaged about 33 possessions for the last 5 weeks, Sam Gray. What about his performance
my boy, Sammy,
in the last 6 weeks?
Yeah, I've got to say I'm reasonably proud of that. I've got to take a little bit of a personal interest, because when you go to a club and you see this kid playing or young man playing for the Magpies and you think he can play some high-level football, and then he comes in and plays and doesn't quite get it done. You try and play him in another spot, and then eventually you give him a chance where he made his name, and he smacks it. And he smacks it out of the park to the point where Sam's agreed to stay with us for a bit longer time too, so it's fantastic.
Oh, that is brilliant.
The other one for me, which has been an outrageous success, is Nathan Cracker. If you think where he went to at one stage in his career and now to think that he's back and he ended up playing a really important role for you off the rookie list and got onto the senior list, that's just a great story.
Another get, isn't he? He's another real great get, because...
decision maker.
You know, you talk about some of the things you miss out on when you recruit people. We got Nathan pretty much for
free.
Nothing. You know, and he's played 14 or 15 games in his first season back in the AFL system. He will be better next year. He's a quality player, and he's a quality person, and we've had a small part to help him get his life back on track, which we should be proud of as a club.
Just back to Sam Gray, sounds like he has signed a deal.
Yes.
Oh, good. When's that been announced?
I'm announcing it now.
You're guilty! Now, he can't play in the Maggies, can he? Because he was...
No, it's a very unusual system that when you're qualified to play in the Maggies finals... before the finals start, yet when the finals start, you're unqualified.
Yeah. Did you appeal to the SANFL?
Yeah, we did. Because
and
I thought
wanted to play.
Yeah, I thought it was unfair in a silly way. I thought if you're qualified once the finals, the home and away series is over, yet you play one more AFL game, you're unqualified.
That.
I think good for the competition would have been to have Sam Gray run around in it. From, let's take away that he's a really good player for the sample and makes a difference, but good for the competition that someone who's played 10 games in the sample should be allowed to play.
The flip side, of course, is the SANFL starts a week after the AFL. So he wasn't picked in your round one side, so he actually sat out and didn't play a game. And you could argue if you're not picked in the AFL side, you should almost.
And he was also picked in a game, unfortunately, when the Phil tragedy went down to play against North Adelaide. And that game got cancelled.
Yeah, they got that one wrong. I agree with that. Chad Corns, he's going to be back with the club.
No, that's not 100% correct. Chad's talking to us, which has been what's reported, and that will happen. We'll sit down and have a chat with Chad. Chad, he's got at the moment he's still with GWS. There's still lots of things to work through, and we'll make all those decisions once we've got all the information. And I think Chad, being Chad, he's very honest. He says, "Yeah, I'm going to have a chat to Port Adelaide." And we're very honest, and we're saying, "Yep, we're going to have a conversation and see where it goes."
And the job's his?
No. We've got to talk through lots of opportunities in that space and decide what's best for our footy club.
Have you had any relationship with him prior, or is this just meeting him for the first time?
No, I've met him. That's the easy part. I've had a number of conversations with Chad throughout my time at the club because of the Kane connection, and obviously with Kane's retirement and everything else, I've certainly had some time with Chad. And I know Chad's history clearly as our football club is a really proud one, and you know, he's still quite a passionate Port person, albeit now he's got a different team that he helps at the moment in GWS. So we understand the passion that he'd probably bring back to Port Adelaide if we've got him back.
So Buddha's coming back up to the AFL?
Eventually. I think what I won't do, Ro, is to sit and talk about everything, because the Magpies are still playing. I think it's not right that we spend time in that space too much, other than say we're always looking at all our structures, all our coaching things, and we'll make some decisions once that's all finished that will benefit for the club.
Yeah, and great news for Joshie Carr. So you're going to have to get people in then. If Joshie Carr's gone, there are availabilities.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, there's openings. There's an opening in our group at the moment, and you know, we need to make sure that, like all our structures in that area, we've got to go through all that stuff yet, and we've got to make some decisions in those spaces, and we're still working through that. So, but yes, there's certainly one clearly available option at the moment.
Last time we spoke, we asked you about Nathan Bassett. You said you hadn't spoken to him. Is he someone on the radar?
No, we haven't spoken to him again. So it's what is it we up to today, Wednesday after the season. We certainly haven't spoken to him as yet, but we will make some inquiries. As you just said, there's opportunities in our coaching structure now that we may be looking to replace some people. Who those people are, Bix, excuse me, but I'm not going to sit there and talk about it.
No, that's true enough. Are you going to Dubai?
No, we're not.
Oh, boy.
No, we won't be going to Dubai. Oh, look, we're in a situation now that we're really well conditioned. We think we're in great shape. We've got an opportunity to now sit ourselves down and make sure our pre-season training is all done here in Adelaide and done at a level that we have to get right, so we don't miss any opportunities to do footy.
No sub, rotations cut to 90. We've had a couple of texts while we're sitting here. The players want to know, is the workload going to be increased another 15%?
No, that was the plan.
Because they haven't got it in them!
No, well, the plan was 3 years ago, we had an absolute build that we were going to put together, and Burjo's done a great job. And last year we said that was the last of our increase, and now we need to maintain, because we're a fit squad. Yeah, we're in really good shape. We're maturing in age. We're starting to now get up to that 10th, 11th position on age on the ladder. So we now think we're in pretty healthy position from a conditioning point of view. Now it's up to Burjo to maintain that and improve in the small areas of individuals.
Fantastic.
Last year, there was, I guess, once you didn't quite go to plan through the middle of the season, there was discussion about, not sure if we handled the expectation correctly in the pre-season. How do you do that? How do you train expectation? How do you train mental toughness, I guess, in some respects?
You deal with it, I reckon. You just talk about it and you stay in that space. And, you know, we've had our first opportunity where it's been the reverse for my first 2 years, where you had to, the expectation was all about what you might have been able to do, not what hopefully you could do. And next year, it won't be that dissimilar, Bix, to be honest. If we sit here and go out the finish of the year, people are going to look at our club and say, well,
high expectations,
there was some misses in the Port Adelaide year, and we expect if they get it right, they'll bounce back. Well, we've got to deal with that, and we've got to be prepared to bounce back. But the only thing we can control is how we go about how hard we work and what we prepare to work on, and then focusing on what's going to make the difference in our game.
A couple of AFL issues. We love talking them with you, Ken, because your touch, your feel in club land is brilliant. First one is the illicit drug policy. Now, it's going to be out by the end of this week, we're led to believe. Two strikes, you're going to know. You happy with that?
Oh, harder the better for me. Yeah. You know, I'm all for protecting these boys and looking after these boys and helping them not make those decisions if they get put in those positions. But I'm zero tolerance. Our club's zero tolerance. Keith's the same. David's the same. We've been really strong on the fact that the more information we get, we're not motivated by hurting players.
No.
You know, and that's one of the things is we get told, well, if the players get the first strike and we understand it and we know it, we might influence our decision. I'd like to think that we handle those situations much better, and we actually look after people.
Yeah, and the pressures of AFL, when we found out about Buddy yesterday, I'm sure you'd have been the same at your club, mental health issues, we just think, wow, if he's right at the top and he hasn't been prejudiced by it, how relevant is it at Clubland, and how much do you work on those mental health issues? And have you seen it at your club?
It's real. It's right there. And I've actually had conversations with myself with the AFL and the PA, and I think it's one of the biggest issues in the game as far as player welfare goes, because the scrutiny and the pressure that's on these players today is more than ever before.
It is.
And you can't expect them not to get affected by that. Mm. We spend a lot of time hoping, thinking and caring and trying to predict if people are struggling in that space, because it is really difficult. And when you see, as you said, a bloke like Buddy, and we wish him all the best, you know, at the top of his game, it doesn't pull itself back from anyone, does it? It goes for anyone.
And just on that, a three-year anniversary today of J-Mac's passing. Just to think that was 3 years ago. Ken.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, it's appropriate to say it because we don't want to forget. You haven't.
No,
we haven't.
No,
and we never will.
Yeah. Our boys today will be sitting in that space thinking about that big time. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, that's really difficult for them to deal with. More difficult for J-Mac and the family, obviously, clearly from our point of view. You know, and then this year we've also had the other terrible tragedy that happened. Football wakes us up sometimes.
It just gives you a slap, Ken, doesn't it? It just gives you a dead set slap. Now, you getting away?
At some stage, not yet for a little while, but I'm hopeful to get away. And, you know, my place of destination that I like to get to is Hamilton Island. And we're hopeful to get up there for a couple of weeks at least. Yeah. But it's, you know, footy season doesn't stop for coaches. It does for players for 6 or 8 weeks. They actually get to see you later, boys. You go and have a holiday. Well, we start talking about still the Magpies wanting to make sure they can win. Then we talk about, you know, contracts. Then we talk about trades. And then we go into, you know, that horrible period of trade 3 weeks. And you're always on call pretty much, so you have to deal with that and just part of the game.
I've been to Forex Island. Now, that's up around that area. It was quite good, actually. Hamilton Island's the flash one, isn't it?
No, it's not the flash one, Ray.
It's
the
family one.
It's a family one, yeah. It's
the family one, Ken.
Yeah, you fly in and land there, and there's no cars. There's just golf buggies, and we have a pretty good time, and it's really, really relaxing. Unfortunately, I think the problem is everyone's starting to figure it out, and everyone's wanting to go there because it's such a great spot. So if you get a chance, go and have a look at Hamilton
Island.
It's
good for spearfishing, isn't it?
Well,
snorkeling?
It's very good for snorkeling. Plenty of up near the Barrier Reef, obviously. Yeah. So you'd love it. Fishing would be right on the radar for you up there.
Spanish mackerel bix like this. When I was on Forex Island, I caught one in this canoe and it took off. And over I went bix.
Don't make me laugh.
I love it. Oh, Ken, I hope you have a good
time. Before we let you go, finals, do you watch much finals? I guess it's you're pretty keen to look at how teams perform and what tactics they use. So I'm guessing you've got to keep some eye on it.
Yes, you footy nut, you watch. Yeah. You know, you don't want to. You know, tell me I don't want to watch it. You're not playing. You get a bit bitter on it, but I'll watch it. And everyone else that's not involved will probably watch it. And you know, hopefully our players will get a good look at it too and understand what we're missing out on. But, you know, it's the most open final series that I can certainly remember. And, you know, with some things that have gone on the last 24 hours, it's made it even probably more open. So I'm not sure what's going to happen, but look forward to it.
Hey, Ken, we've got a Rustin Blackgut Shiraz there for you. It's only a little gift. I know you're pretty much a non-drinker, but take that to Hamilton Island with the family. And on behalf of Bix and I and our team here, thanks for your support, your open, honest, candid chats that you have. Actually, I'm going to say that on behalf of all media.
Yes.
The way you are in the media is just brilliant, Ken. So thank you. It didn't quite go to plan on the field. I'm not going to say it's the year you had to have. You'll learn from that and onwards and upwards, Ken. But on behalf of us, mate, thank you sincerely.
Thanks, boys. Let's hope next year the review's a little bit later in the year.
Oh, good work, Ken Hinckley, our guest.
Brought to you by the new Port Adelaide Football Club Visa debit card, powered by Beyond Bank. My team, my card.